Thank you, Brother John, for letting me come, and I appreciate the good meals that y'all have been providing for us, and thank you for the good room that you put the bill for, and I appreciate all the things, all the good preaching, the good singing, and most of all, I'm very thankful that my love offering was twice as much as Jonathan Shook's. And three times more than Brother David Nix's. I'm very thankful for that. Thank you, Brother John. Very thankful for that. He wasn't in. I won't tell it again. Y'all tell it. I won't be long tonight. I appreciate that good singing. That's wonderful. Amen. I appreciate that good picking and singing. I tried to play the guitar and sing at my church one time, and they almost kicked me out for sowing discord among the brethren. And so I thought I'd just not do that. Amen. But I appreciate that. Wonderful. And I appreciate the good, sweet spirit in this place. Amen. I won't be long tonight. I can't afford to be long-winded. I'm on that high-carb diet. And I got a lot of energy, but it don't last too long. So, I won't be long tonight. That'll be a blessing to you. Numbers chapter 21. If you're able to, could you stand while we read just a few verses out of Numbers chapter number 21. Numbers 21. And I want to begin reading in verse number 10. Read down to about verse number 20. Or maybe down to verse 18. Numbers chapter number 21. If you love your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. I appreciate all these preachers. My, I'm out of my league. Preaching to preachers. Bunch of preachers. Preaching to preachers is kind of like marrying a redhead. It could be real, real good or real, real bad. I hope it's good. Numbers 21 and verse number 10. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. And they journeyed from Oboth and pitched at Ajab-Arim in the wilderness, which is before Moab, toward the sun rising. From thence they removed and pitched in the valley of Zored. From thence they removed and pitched on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness that cometh out of the coast of the Amorites. For Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, what he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon, at the stream of the brooks, that goeth down to the dwelling of Ar, and lieth upon the border of Moab. And from thence they went to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes dig the well. The nobles of the people digged it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. And from the wilderness they went to Matana. Let's leave off reading in verse number 18. Bow with me if you would in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight for your love, your mercy. I thank you for this good crowd gathered together in your house. I'm encouraged, Lord. It's wonderful to see the house of God filled. And Lord, I pray tonight just for a little while that you would touch these lips of clay. I pray, oh God, that you would anoint me afresh, oh Lord, and make it a help and a blessing. Father, I didn't come here to impress anybody, but I don't want to depress nobody neither. And so I pray that God, you would help somebody from the Word of God, I pray you'd get glory, you'd get honor, you'd get credit, and you'd bless your people and help us, I pray, from this wonderful passage of Scripture. Thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you, Lord God, for the church. And we'll give you all the glory and credit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, brother. Amen. That'll melt in a minute, and I'll better drink it here in a minute. Amen. Thank you. Whoa, hey, amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's what you're going to have to sing to that. Amen. I want you to look with me tonight in this familiar passage of Scripture, and I know that all of you preachers have preached this, and I'm glad that the Word of God is wonderful. Amen. And I'd like to hear it again and again and again. Amen. Tell me the old story. I like it. Amen. I don't want to hear a new thing. I like the old story. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I'm thankful for it. Amen. And but I want you to look at this with me here tonight in these verses here. We see that the children of Israel are in their journey. And they're going from Egypt into the promised land. And you know the types in the Bible that Egypt is a type of the world, and they're out from among the world. They're separate from the world now, and they're making their way into the promised land, which is a type of the will of God. Now it's a 13-day journey from the Red Sea to Kadesh Barnea, which is entering into the promised land, and a 13-day journey. Now it took them 40 years to get there. And let me say to you tonight that you're going to have to go through the wilderness to get to the promised land. Somebody help me preach now. It won't be long. If you'll help me, it won't be long. Amen. But you'll have to go. There's no way around it. You've got to go through the wilderness to get to the promised land. God has it so. He's going to send us through the wilderness in order to test us and to try us. That's why He sent Israel from the Red Sea into the wilderness to try them and to test them. Amen. And He'll do the same for us. Now, it's a 13-day trip, and it's up to you how long you stay in the wilderness. Amen. But you have to go through the wilderness in order to get to the promised land. Now, I was privileged. The Lord allowed me to get to go over to Israel, and I looked out over the wilderness, what they call the wilderness of Judea. Now, I'm a mountain boy, and when I think of a wilderness, I'm thinking of trees, but there's not a tree one. It's all nothing but sand and hills, rolling sand, hot sand, nothing nowhere. And every now and then, there'll be a little patch of green somewhere, and that's somewhere that they call an oasis. And that's a spot where there's some water because there's a well there. Somebody say amen. Now, y'all don't go to bed on me now. I want you to notice that where there is water, there's life. Where there's no water, there's no life. And where that patch of life is because there's a well there, and that well has water in it. Amen. Now, we see it in this journey through the wilderness that God is bringing the children of Israel through. He gives them water to drink. And sometimes in miraculous ways. There has been a couple of times when they needed something to drink, and the Bible said that water came forth from the rock. Amen. You remember that Moses smote the rock, and water came forth of that rock. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10 that rock followed them. Amen. And that rock was Christ. I'm thankful that there are times in emergency situations that God can get you a drink of water when you need a drink of water. Amen. And now it seems to be one of those times when they need some water. Now, they've gone from one place to the next, and they're going from one oasis to another. They're going from one green spot in the wilderness to another. Amen. Because where there is no water, there is no life. And here they come into a situation where it seems that they need some more water. And the Bible said that instead of giving water from a rock, God's got another plan, and He's going to give them some water, but it's going to come by way of digging a well. Somebody say amen. Now, I don't know who is in charge of types in the Bible and deciding who, what type is what, but I see a church here in the middle of a dry and thirsty land. Amen. And thank God for that. Amen. Now listen, you can get, there's one spot where you can get water that'll help you and water that'll change your life. Can I get a witness? And that's at the church. Amen. I believe that folks can get saved elsewhere, but I believe they'll want to come into the church, and that's what'll sustain them. Listen, I'm a pastor. I give my life for the church. Amen. I love the church. Somebody say amen. I believe in the church, and that's what I see here. When I see this oasis, this little bit of water in the wilderness, I see a church. Amen. I want you to notice here that God says to them, it's time to dig a well. God's going to give them some water, this time not out of the rock, but He's going to give them water from a well. Amen. I want you to notice four things. I'm going to take my pastor's advice. And he said to me, never tell somebody to do something without telling them how to do it. Amen. And so I want to preach a message for a little while on how to dig a well. Somebody say amen. How to dig a well. I believe that's what we need in these dry and thirsty times that we're living in, is we need a place somewhere that we can go and get a drink that'll help us in these dry times, and it's time to dig a well. Now, I want to give you four things, four keys, necessities on what it takes to dig a well. Number one, I want you to notice with me in verse number 18. There is, first of all, you need the authority of the Word. He said in verse number 18, by the direction of the lawgiver. Amen. Now, I want you to notice that they're going to dig a well, and automatically there are questions that come up. Where are we going to dig the well? Amen. How are we going to dig the well? Who's going to dig the well? There are questions that arise when it comes time to do something such as digging a well, and they need to know how. Amen. And so what you need, first of all, is the authority of the Word. I'll tell you how. They knew where to dig that well and how to dig that well. They looked at the lawgiver. Amen. It was by direction of the lawgiver. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Amen. I believe that you'll find the direction for the church in the lawgiver. Amen. Well, who's the lawgiver? Well, God gave it. God gave the law. God gave the law to Moses. Amen. And I believe that that's the one that they had to look to in order to find out what the book said. They had to look to the lawgiver. I don't know. I'm testing y'all, but y'all, I don't know. Amen. I had an old man of God tell me one time, said, son, there's somebody going to pastor your church. Might as well be you. Amen. I don't believe that when it came time to dig the well, that they gathered together a committee and decided that they'd vote on where to dig the well. God help us. That's not how to find out where to dig a well. You want to find out where to dig it? Go to the book. Go to the book. It's the book. The direction of the lawgiver. That's how to do it. That's how you do it right there. I don't believe God ever made it where the church ought to be run by family or by committee or by board. I believe with all of my heart that this business is a shepherd and a flock. And if you want to know where to dig the well, ask the lawgiver. He'll tell you what the book says. That's right. Yeah, I ain't fighting over who's in charge. I didn't volunteer for this job, Brother Mark. I was working in Valley Machine Welding Company, Chattanooga, Tennessee, minding my own business when God said, I want you to go and pastor that church. I said, all right. Amen. I didn't volunteer for it. I didn't sign up for it. God ordained me to do it. God chose me to do it. And I'm going to do it. Amen. I'm going to pastor my church. I don't know. It's cool. It's a little cool. I'm not cold, mind you. But a little cool. I'm just testing you. The authority of the Word. Amen. That's what you need. By the direction of the lawgiver. Amen. You know why I don't want nobody messing with my Bible? Because that's how I find out where to dig the well. That's how I find out how to dig the well. That's why I don't want nobody changing the words. I don't want nobody changing nothing in my Bible. Because if they can change this thing, then they'll change that thing. And then that thing. And then before you know it, you don't even know what it says. Now, those of you that know me, they ain't a mean bone in my body. Amen. I ain't against hardly nothing. Amen. But I ain't a backing up over this issue that is such a big issue in our day. This King James Bible issue. I'm talking about it's an issue in our day. It's an issue in our day. I want to say to you that this book is the absolute final authority on everything we have. You don't know a thing unless it's in this book. I don't want nobody messing with it. Amen. Amen. I'm not against education. I believe in it. Amen. I went, crammed 4 years into six. And I started a little school over there where I pastor because God laid on my heart that I ought to train my preacher boys. And I wasn't fishing for an amen there. That's just what I believe. I ain't sending them off somewhere. I feel like I ought to train them. God give them to me. So I'm going to train them. And so we got a little school. Faith Bible Institute there in Roanoke, Alabama. Amen. So I believe in it. But I want to say that I've seen a lot of good young men ruined because they went off and they got too educated for their own good. Amen. I've seen them lose faith in that Bible. They go out, and I like Greek, amen. And it's fun to look. Now listen to me very carefully. This is a statement right here. I guarantee you'll get me an honorary doctorate. Words have meanings, amen. There ain't nothing wrong with looking them up, amen. There ain't nothing wrong with it. But you got to understand something, honey, that we don't speak Greek. We don't speak Hebrew. And we don't speak Aramaic. We speak English. And God has given us a Bible. He's given us a Bible. We got it in plain English. Hallelujah. I can't stand it when they say, well, it would be better if it was to say this. Well, what? It would be better if it were to be translated this. Blah. Well, then that book's not the final authority then. You are. You're the final authority. And I don't want to be the authority. I didn't draw the line in the sand. It was here when I got here. I'm just a pointing at it. It'll be here when I'm gone. I didn't start this thing. It's God's business. I don't want to be in the authority. The book is the final authority. Amen. Very controversial subject in our day.
this King James subject. When I was in Chattanooga, there was an old boy had a program called Chat with the Pastor. I enjoyed it on the radio. I liked him. And he's Southern Baptist, but I liked him. He's a nice guy. And I heard him debating with one other man about the King James controversial issue. And I called in and I told him, I said, listen, I said, tell me, because he said, he made this statement that they've all got errors in them. I said, dear stars. I said, brother, would you please tell me where the error is in the King James Bible? He said, well, for one, the King James Version says that this is my body which is broken for you. And the Bible plainly says that not a bone broken. I said, well, you're retarded, brother. You don't know a metaphor if one smacks you upside your head. He was talking figuratively when he said, my body's broken like a spirit of a horse is broken. That's what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about his bones that were broken. Can I say to you that there is no errors in this book? There are no errors in this book. It is our final authority. Final authority. How do you find out where to dig? The direction of the lawgiver. Find out what the book says. Amen? You know, one of the other things I love about my King James Bible, there's no copyrights. You can take that book back there to the copy machine and run you as many copies of it as you want to. Try that with one of them other ones. Because it's all about the money. Amen. This book's free. It's free. It's absolutely free for anybody that wants it. It's free. No copyrights on that Bible. Are y'all with me? Now, hey, you can get mad all you want to, honey. My favorite place to preach is 820 Gordon Street, Roanoke, Alabama, 26374. Amen. Amen. Ain't no camp meeting hobo. Bless your heart. I believe in the authority of the book. I believe in the authority of the local church. Pastor! I believe in pastoral authority. I believed it before I was a pastor. And I believe that what we need in our churches is strong leadership in the pulpit. Strong leadership. Strong leadership in the pulpit. That's exactly right. Amen. That's right. Amen. The direction of the lawgiver. The authority of the word. I ain't got before of these. That ought to bless somebody's heart right there. It could be seven. Amen. Amen, Brother Kidd. He ain't listening. Very controversial subject. Amen. I want you to notice with me number two. The authority of the word. That's what it takes. Amen. Number two, notice with me here in verse number 18, the top. It says, the princes digged the well, and the nobles of the people digged it. The activity of the workers. Now, I want you to notice two things here. First of all, unlikely men. The Bible said the princes digged the well, and the nobles of the people digged it. Amen. Now, I don't know how much you know about well digging, but that's not the job of a noble. That's not the job of a prince. Come on, somebody. Hit me now. Hit me now. Amen. That's not the job of a prince or a noble. That's the job of a servant. That's the job of the common folk. But that's not what the Bible said. That's not how the lawgiver wanted it to take place. He said it wanted the princes down here. Amen. And the nobles of the people. Can I say it like this? At the house of God, there ain't no big I's or little U's. A lot of big O's. But no big eyes. Amen. Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. I believe in pastoral authority. But I also believe the preacher ought to go out on visitation. And I also believe the preacher ought to show up on work day. I also believe the preacher ought to be there for men's prayer breakfast. Somebody say amen. If for no other reason, I ain't a missing business degree. Amen. Amen. If there's, I don't have to be over everything, but I want to be involved in everything. If my church people are getting together, I want to be there. If it's summer camp, I'm swinging off the swing. I want to be there. If it's VBS, I want to be there. I want to be there, involved in everything. I was outside the parsonage when I pastored up North Alabama, and I was watching these fire ants. Y'all got fire ants up here? I'm going to tell you how to kill them. Surefire way, your money back. Get you some smokeless tobacco and sprinkle it around the hole. They'll carry it down to the queen, and when she comes out to spit, step on her. They'll move. That's how I did it. And I was watching them, and they had, I think they'd been in the back of my van. And I got a little young, and so they had a, it looked like they had a couple of Fruit Loops. Really Fruit Loops. Cereal. And was toting it. And something else, and they had a big old piece of food, and there's a carrot, and there's in a fine making a beeline. There's right in line going back to the hole. Back down there. They're taking the food. And I thought, and here it was, and I seen them ants. And I seen, well, now there was some of them that was toting the load. They was carrying that food back to the colony. And some of them was just running around scattered, just running around all over the place without any direction at all. And then some of them was riding on top of food. Now, y'all say I'm a great waster of time for looking at these ants, but the Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Amen. Consider ways and be wise. So you ain't as smart as you thought you was for thinking I'm a time waster for watching the ants. As Karen, I thought, Brother John, I said, now that is a church. You got some of them toting the load. And some of them just run around everywhere, just run around like a chicken with their head cut off. They don't just run around. And then some of them riding. Some of them just long for the ride. Come on, somebody. Now, don't y'all go to bed on me. Now, come on. I ain't mad at you. I ain't no mean preacher. I ain't against nothing. Amen. Ain't a mean bone in my body. The princes and the nobles digged. Unlikely men. Don't you notice the second thing? The Bible said with their staves. Unlikely method. With their staves. Now, I don't know how much you know about digging a well. But if I was going to dig a well, especially in sand, I believe I'd want a shovel. Somebody say amen. Amen. Really. And then, but the Bible said, that's not how the lawgiver said do it. Amen. Said for the princes to get down there and do it, and for them to do it with their staves. Now, what they was doing is those staves. That ain't nothing but a stick. And they're down there and they're shoveling sand with it. That don't make a whole lot of sense, does it? Amen. They're not getting very far with what they're doing here. But they're digging. And they're digging the well and they're digging it. The princes and nobles are down there. They're not the ones that even should have been doing it in the first place. And they're not doing it right. Digging it with a stick. That ain't how you dig a well. But that's how the lawgiver said do it. Somebody say amen. That's how the lawgiver said do it. And so that's how there's a doing it. There's a digging the well. There's a digging the well. Unlikely method. I could hear some of them now. What do they think they're doing? They ain't got enough sense to dig a well. They don't know how to dig a well. Look at them down there. The more they shovel out, more goes in its place. They ain't getting anywhere. What do they think they're doing? Does that sound familiar to anybody? But that's how the lawgiver said do it. That's how they wanted to do it. Amen. Unlikely men. The princes and the nobles. Unlikely method. They were digging it with their staves. Don't you notice this third one here? Y'all all right? See, I check on you now. I'm not an evangelist. I'm a pastor. A big difference. Evangelists don't care about the people. Evangelists care more about his points than he does the people. That's why if there's evangelists up, he'd have 7 points. I don't. I got 4. Because I'm a pastor. And I care about the people. See, I had to get him because he wasn't in here over the money joke. I tell you what the biggest difference between a pastor and an evangelist is. The evangelist, he'll back in, dump a load, and drive off. A pastor, he'll back in, dump a load, and get out with a rake. That's how I am. I got the rake, blisters on my hands. Don't you notice the third thing? Here we are over halfway done. Ain't that a blessing? Wendy's has got Frosties for $1. We can go. In just a minute. My high-carb diet is running low, running out. Notice it with me here. I showed you the first thing you got to have is the authority of the Word. You don't know how to do it unless the lawgiver shows you how to do it. And the activity of the workers, somebody's got to get in there and do the work. Amen. And can I say right there that this is not a one-man show. It takes everybody. It takes everybody. It takes everybody to dig a successful well. Amen. And the third thing here, I want you to notice with me here. And the Bible said God gathered, Moses gathered the people together. God said, I'm going to give them water. Verse 17, then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. Now I want you to notice here, the princes and the nobles were in the hole down there with their staves. And mind you that they needed some water. Amen. This whole multitude, this entire congregation depended on this well that they were digging to get them some water to sustain their life. They had to have it. They had to have some water. They were thirsty and they needed, honey, hunger pains go away after a little while. But when you're thirsty, it never goes away. You've got to have something to satisfy that thirst. And so the princes and the nobles are down there. But notice the third thing, the attendance of the worshipers. The Bible said that they got in behind those princes and those nobles and began to sing. Hallelujah. Spring up, oh well. Spring. I can see the excitement on the people's eyes. Now, they weren't criticizing the princes and the nobles for not doing it right. Can I get a witness? Come on, somebody. Come on, God help us. Amen. They weren't being critical of the princes and the nobles for digging it with their staves rather than a shovel, but they got in behind them. Hallelujah. God help us. They got in behind them and began to sing, spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. They were behind those people. Two things. Number one, they were present. The Bible said he gathered the people. I like that. Amen. It's always a blessing to have church when the church actually comes to church. I don't know about you preachers, but I'm tired of preaching to empty pews. Ain't never heard an amen from an empty pew. Amen. And I like it when they come. Amen. Now, when I was a kid, and we'd be out playing somewhere, and it'd come on dinner time, and Mom had been in the kitchen all day, making them big cat head biscuits, the kind that Jesus likes. And frying chicken's so good the chicken liked it. And she'd been in there working all day. All that high carb diet that she raised me right on. And we'd come in, and I'll promise you this. If we didn't come back when she called us the first time, the next time we came in, we wouldn't get no cathead biscuits and no chicken. I guarantee you that. She ain't working for nothing. She's been in this kitchen slaving. Honey, how do you think your preacher feels when he's been working on that sermon all week long, laboring in the book and studying and laboring and praying, and they don't even show up to eat what he's prepared? They were present. But let me say that number two, they were participating. They were in on it. Amen. As bad as the princes and the nobles wanted some water in that well, the people wanted it just as bad. And they got in behind them. Spring up, oh well. Honey, listen to me. Amen. Now let me talk to Murrayville Baptist Church real quick. Let me say to you, you have a great preacher. Amen. It ain't oftentimes when you find a man who's a good pastor and a good preacher at the same time. Amen. But you have one. I want to ask you this. How much better do you think he'd do if you was to jump up right in the middle of his sermon and holler, "Preach, preacher! Preach! Hallelujah!" Honey, he'd shout himself to death. He'd preach the house afire. Y'all would break furniture in here if you'd just get in. Get in this thing, honey. Y'all had some good singing. And the choir's done a wonderful job singing. But imagine if the people were to jump up and say, "Hallelujah! Sing, choir! Sing, choir! Praise God! Sing, choir!" Now, I watched him the other night when Brother John Dorsey was up. And the outside of his face was white, and then red, and then purple, and then black. His nose turned black several times. On three different kinds of blood pressure medicine. You know why? Because he's a preaching himself to death trying to promote old time salvation, old time religion, old time worship. Old time worship. I ain't a settling, Brother Mark. I ain't a settling. I ain't a settling. And I watched some of you. Now there's some of you that was on it. I watched Brother John. He up there, he just a jumping. Had his hands in the air. And a shouting. And I watched some of y'all do it. And I seen some of you was in on it. Amen. And some of you didn't like it too good. You best not talk to me about it. Amen. If you need to say something negative about John Dorsey, best not say it to me. Best not say it to me. Amen. But I seen the most of the people. Brother John, I seen the most of the people liked it, but didn't know what to do. Well, ain't nothing wrong with that. They liked it, but they didn't know what to do. I remember them days. I remember the first time I hollered amen in church, in public, out loud. I remember it. You could have fried an egg on my forehead. My wife looked at me like, "I'll slap you. What's wrong with you?" And it embarrassed my flesh. Let me say something to you about your flesh. It needs to be embarrassed. Amen. Can I remind you that when Joshua was a battling down in the valley, and that great picture of the flesh, amen, he was a fighting the Amalekites down in the valley, that great type of the flesh, when Moses put his arms down, they lost the fight. Somebody holler amen. But when Moses lifted up his hands in praise unto God, that's when there was victory over the flesh. There was victory over the enemy. Honey, some of y'all will never get over what you need to get over until you get in this old time way. You'll never get victory over the flesh until you get in. Get in! Get in! Old time religion. Somebody said to me one time, "All that shouting's not in the Bible." That Levitical choir would take a step up to the Temple Mount on their way to church and shout so loud you could hear it in Jordan. That's right. That's exactly right. Now don't get me wrong. It ain't got to be a high service every time. And a healthy church will have them high services and them holy services. A healthy church will have both. A healthy church will have them shouting services. And a healthy church will have them silent services. We've seen both this week, preacher. We've seen both this week. Amen. But there ain't nothing worse than liking it and not knowing what to do. I was preaching a meeting one time. And this old boy, he had gotten saved on Monday night. I don't know what happened to him on Tuesday night. And then Wednesday night. And then by Thursday night, he was crazy. And I could just tell he wanted to do something. He didn't know nothing about church. And I was up preaching in a big way. He jumped up and hollered, "Get her done!" I said, I don't know what that means, but I'll take it. Hey, I've been in churches today when the devil say amen, I'd take it. Amen. Devil himself holler amen. Amen. I'm talking about dead. I'm talking about tumbleweeds rolling down the center aisle. Amen. I'm talking about go in here, a voice from heaven saying, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Amen. Amen. But you need to understand something. You got some life in here. You got some fire in here. And it needs to be cultivated. Amen. Brother Dorsey said the other night, when you don't know what to do, do like your preacher. He jumps up and down. How about you jump up and down? He lifts his hands up in the air and hollers, "Amen." Won't you lift your hand up in there? Holler, "Amen." Amen. That's exactly right. Yeah. Old time worship is what we need. Now, I asked somebody one time, I said, what do you think the number one need in our churches is in this last day? He didn't say soul winning, and I believe in soul winning. Hey, I said I believe in soul winning. I believe in sowing the seed. That ain't the number one need. I believe sinners will get saved when they see the saints worshiping God. There's a legend of a man from up in northwest Georgia area, Brother Doug Brandon. Do you know Brother Brandon? Brother Doug Brandon, he is a town drunk in Rossville. He's in heaven now. And he said he went to a cottage prayer meeting in this old house that they didn't even have the ceiling finished. They just had them bare rafters in there. He said them saints got to shouting and hanging off of them rafters, swinging off of them. You say, that's charismatic. You know what a charismatic would be doing in that? Hiding in the corner, scared to death. They don't holler amen unless it honors them. They don't holler amen unless it draws attention to them. They don't do a thing unless it draws attention to them. But when it draws attention to him, hey, that's when it's real. That's when it's right. And every amen I've ever heard him holler was out of tune. You ever heard of out of tune amen? Brother Brandon said, I got to looking at them old saints. And he said, they had something that I didn't have. And I wanted it. And honey, he got it. Amen. Amen, he got it. Is old-time religion going to die with this gray-haired generation we got? Lord God, I don't even want to be in if it is. Amen. Hey, I ain't settling for it. I'm not charismatic, but I ain't Catholic neither, honey. And I'm going to tell you something. This Baptist was shouting long before the circus ever came to town in 1969 on Azusa Street in California before the first person ever spoke in tongues. Baptist was acting like this long before the circus ever came to town. They ain't scared me out of my shout. The attendance of the worshipers. You ain't going to get no water. unless you sing to it. I don't mind if they get quiet because that's when it's soaking in. See, that used to bother me. Shouting don't bother me. Silence don't bother me. There gonna be no way. There gonna be no water. There ain't gonna be no water unless they sing to it. Spring up, oh well. Sing unto it. I don't believe you got to pump it up. Amen. I don't believe you got to pump it up. I don't believe you got to pump it up. If I believe you can praise God, and the Bible said He inhabits praise. That's where He lives. That's where He stays. That's where He's looking for. John 4, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. He's looking for somebody that ain't ashamed to praise Him. That's where He'll go to church. The attendance of the worshipers. I want to give you the last one. I'll just mention this and sit down. The abundance of the waters. Wouldn't have done them a bit of good. Now listen to me. They're out there digging them with them stains. It looked like they were getting anywhere. And by the way, they weren't getting very far. But the whole time they was trying to go down. Their feeble efforts. There was some water coming up. They didn't get down to the water. The water got up to them. I'm going to take my shoes off and run around this building 3 times and bite somebody on the ankle. Don't think I can't. Their little feeble, pitiful efforts. Scratching around in the sand. You didn't think you was getting very far with it. You didn't think you was doing very good with it. You didn't think it was amounting to much. You was thinking about giving up your Sunday school class because you didn't think it was amounting to much. You didn't think it meant anything. You was about to quit doing what it is you're doing at the house of God because you can't see the efforts and you can't see no fruits yet. And you're about to give up because you can't see you're getting anywhere. I say keep on digging. Keep on digging. The water is on its way. The water's coming. The water is on its way. You see, the direction of the lawgiver, he knew that there was an underground river. There's a river flowing. An unseen river flowing. Flowing through the whole Word of God, you see that unseen river, that underground river flowing. Amen. One of these days, for out from underneath the throne of David, yonder on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, will come a river flowing out from underneath the throne. It'll go down that valley, freshly made by the Lord's return through the Mount of Olives, down into the Dead Sea, and the desert shall blossom like a rose. Amen. Hallelujah. There's an unseen river flowing, and God knew where it was. And I don't know, listen, I don't know. They called it beer. That word means the well. Not Beersheba, the well of an oath. There are many other wells in the Bible, but this one they called the well. The well. That was the well. The well that God gave them. Amen. Now, the abundance of waters, not only, listen to me, the source of that unseen river, but the strength of it, there was over 2.6 million people. Every one of them got enough to drink. I tell you something else too. Anybody that ever passed that way that needed something to drink could stop by the well and get a drink. I see the church. I see the church. Amen. That's where I got my last drink. At the church. Amen. Praise God. The abundance of water. They all got a drink. Everybody in that whole grand multitude got a drink. And there's plenty of water left over. There was more if you got thirsty again. Hallelujah. You can go back to the well and get you some more. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together. Never head bowed or eye closed.